Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And beside us, we're joined, as always, by our illustrious producer, Shecky Feldstein.
Hey, guys. And I have to interject right here. Isn't this usually, I think this is a couple weeks in a row now, you guys are off your soapboxes or something. Because usually you try and claim that you're the masters of the universe or the unicorns of the fields. Or,
that is or true, something yeah. Like
we,
that. Yeah.
You know what? We always, that bit always seems to bomb. So I thought maybe if we remove it, we'll have like a better intro.
See, I just thought we're on summer break. Like, we're not anything right now. We're just, you know.
I thought it was along Walt's line where it's, you know, why have the worst part of the show 30 seconds in and scare people away?
That's right. We're saving the worst part for later.
Yeah. Okay, good.
All right. So we start the show with witty banter, like you just heard. And then we segue into Chris Owen's New This Week. Yeah, where you review comics that are hitting the local comic book shop's New This Week stands.
That's right. But before we do that, we also have a sponsor for New This Week.
Mm-hmm. And who other than Free Comic Book Day, where the longest lines were usually for the food trucks.
Oh, I believe that, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. But we'll get into that a little bit more later in the show. We're going to talk about Free Comic Book Day. But first, as Shecky said, we're going to have to get part of New This Week underway here. So let's start with... So here's one that keeps on going. We thought this was going to be a fad. It hasn't ended yet. Mind you, it's only issue number 2. But we have...
man, that is a run.
We did not think you would get that far.
It's unbelievable Gwenpool.
Gwenpool
is still going strong. I really like the artwork. It's a fun story. It's the way comic books should
it's
be.
It's totally meant to be fun, and that's why I believe it will hit, you know, issue 2, maybe 200. Yep. If it's just... Right now, the young teenage sort of crowd, they love Deadpool. They love Spider-Gwen, and when you mash them together...
You get Gwenpool. Yep, that's right. Yeah.
You get... You know, I'm just surprised. Issue 2. Mark that on your calendar.
Well, issue 0 did come out last week or 2 weeks ago. It's kind of like 3 issues in now,
Hey, Gwenpool, issue 2, available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Let's see what else I got here. Let's keep going with Marvel stuff. So we've got... the all-new, all-different Avengers, introducing the all-new, all-different Wasp. And this is Avengers number 9.
Number nine.
Are you shocked that it got to number nine too, Chris?
No, it's written by Mark Waid, and it's got the art is by Mahmoud Asrar. So this is really good stuff. Mark Waid's a great writer. Everything he touches seems to do well, so I'm not surprised.
Hey, guys. Of the teams... The Justice League of America,
yes,
proper,
yes,
and Avengers proper,
yes,
not A Next or A This or which team had the most characters come through it over the years?
Oh, you know what? Mm-hmm. I was going to say Avengers for sure, but Justice League had a pretty crappy run of of Justice League heroes.
It's like a revolving door.
Yeah, right? Justice League had Vixen and Vibe and...
that was the V years.
The V years. Mind you, however, Avengers also had Dr. Druid and the Shroud.
Oh, yeah.
So he had some pretty choice... that has some pretty choice characters too. So
you're not answering my question.
You know what?
My question is, do you even know the answer to your own question?
I don't have to say right now, do I?
I'm going
to
say Avengers. However, I might be wrong.
Say Avengers.
Yeah, too. I might be wrong. Yeah.
You know what? It's one of the two.
Yeah.
But I might be wrong.
One of the two. So of the two, it's one of them.
Yeah.
That's great.
Anyway, Avengers number 9. Is available. Oh, it's the all new, all different Avengers at number 9 at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Now we're going to switch over to DC for a minute here.
Let's.
For those of you that like your comics full of women in charge.
Yes.
And fighting monsters and octopus type things and kraken type things and weird looking things, and if you like your whole team of just nothing but women, DC Comics Bombshells is the one for you. Now, this is for those of you who don't know what this book is. This is the book that it's kind of like they've taken all the famous DC women and made them into pinup girls.
1940s style.
Yeah, 1940s style pinup girls. But now they're fighting. So it wasn't so much that they're just pinups. Now they actually are retrofitted
now
into...
Now they're kicking ayas.
That's right.
Wow. So this one's got a baseball bat. The other one's got the lasso.
Oh, man, that's just screaming 40s and 50s. Baseball bat.
Baseball got like bat. A little Joe DiMaggio pose going. She needs to work on her stance a little bit, I can tell.
Yeah.
Get that elbow a little lower. See the follow through.
It's all about the follow through.
Hey, Bombshell number 12, available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay. The next one I got here, I got to admit, I misread the writer. I saw the title of the book, and it's called Unleash by Amigo Comics. And I thought, oh, this looks pretty cool. And I looked at when my eyes first glanced at who the writer was, I thought it said Vin Diesel.
Oh, nice.
That's what I thought. I thought, oh, we're going to have to talk about this for sure. And then I looked on the inside, and it said Van Gessel. So, yeah, it's...
That's a Walt error right there.
Yeah, it's so...
You know what I like? Because I know Van Gessel listens to the show.
Yeah.
Is you've made him feel, or her.
It's her, Jennifer Van Gessel.
Feel pretty darn good right now.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We've chosen their book to be on the show.
Because you thought it was Vin Diesel.
I thought it was Vin Diesel.
The only reason.
Now, you know, I'm sure other people will do the same thing, and they'll buy the book, and then it's going to sell out, and it'll actually do well.
Right on. Okay, listen. Vamanos, muchachos. Go into your local comic book shop and pick up Unleashed number one. Numero uno.
Numero uno. Then we've got another number one here. And this is Satellite Falling. I really like the art on this. This is by Steve Horton, Stephen Thompson, with colors by Lisa Jackson. This is like... This book should be in Heavy Metal Magazine. Like, this is like crazy aliens and off-world type colony things.
Oh,
and,
I like it.
I love the look of the inside of the book. It really belongs in a graphic novel.
Book, Shecky.
It's a good looking book.
Good looking book.
A good looking book right there. Mm-hmm. That's called Satellite Falling by IDW.
I'll help you out there.
Satellite Falling by IDW. Number one at your local comic book shop today.
All right, hurry
in.
And last but certainly not least, we have Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Because in case you didn't think it was already gone from the universe.
How did that song go? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I think that's exactly how it went.
No, that's Rocket Robin Hood.
Yeah, that's right.
With Rocket
Robin Hood.
Aren't a
banded
lot
together,
band of brothers.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 3. It looks like the Green Power Rangers hurt. So
Man down.
Better check that out.
I guess I think you need
to get Little John in there with his mighty porter staff.
The whole resurgence of this, I don't know if you saw, but there's a screenshot of all the new Power Rangers in their new suits for the upcoming film.
Ooh!
Yeah, so I guess that is a real thing that, you know, it will eventually happen. I don't know how it's going to be, because I don't know if you ever saw the cartoon.
I never watched it.
It was just the worst fake, like, it was almost like the old Godzilla movies, where big things on tiny play sets, like those sparks that explode, but it's supposed to be explosions.
People loved it.
Yeah.
People just loved it.
I don't know. Well, we'll see how, I guess they're going to go dark and, you know, real edgy.
You know what, I hate hearing that. I'd rather them have a nice light movie, because people always go, you know it's going to make it good, just make it dark.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I switched to Dark Roast about 2 months ago.
Did you, yeah?
I love it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Walt, when you switched to Dark, was it better?
Once you try Dark Roast, you don't want
anything else. Yeah, no, I believe that,
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 3 is available at your local comic book shop today, as are, I don't know, hundreds of other great titles hitting your local comic book shop today. So hurry in and peruse the new this week.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude before we continue on with industry news. We've got lots to talk about. We're going to talk about Free Comic Book Day coming up. And, of course, you're listening to...
Coming up?
Coming up for us. But we're going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Pay attention.
But I missed... something.
And, of course, you're listening to CFMU McMaster Radio. Thank you.
the Sweet Sounds Krantz.
Krantz.
Coming at you on Comic Culture.
Now, do you guys, every time we have the Krantz, you know, segue music breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
I always think of Frasier. You ever watch the show Frasier? Because it's all that jazz. Yeah, you know, for like the beginning, and especially the outro of the show where they have something running. And
outro.
Yeah, it just makes me think of Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. Okay, I don't know how to top that.
So yeah, I don't know what to say about
pretend
that.
You didn't say anything.
Perfect. All right, we're gonna go on with industry news and talk about Free Comic Book Day. And Jackie, do you have a sponsor for us?
Absolutely. So, industry news part one, brought to us by Captain America: Civil War, where obviously no major characters died because they've all been booked for movies for the next 25 years.
That's very true. Very true.
Yes.
All right. So, all right,
let's first talk about Free Comic Book Day. Which happened last Saturday, this is our annual Pulse of the Nation.
Pulse of the Nation.
This is where we take the pulse of the local comic book shop.
Right.
I know, Chris, you've taken a few pulses before.
I have, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
So, I mean, you guys, you hit a couple shops.
I hit one.
You hit one.
I hit two.
Hey, you know what? It was funny. We looked at our numbers and we were one person short of our all-time record. And too bad my buddy Chris Owen didn't pop in to say hi.
Yeah, that's too bad.
You know?
Yeah.
Too busy, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, Chris, you were down at another shop.
We went down to another shop.
Just generally, what was your take?
Very busy. The store, which it's a smaller store. I wanted to go help out
Comic One,
a friend. Comic One in Stony Creek. Yep.
Shop.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They had guest artists signing there. They had
Art Balthazar
was not signing there. They gave away lots of free comics. They had a great little thing going on. There was supposed to be some cosplayers there showing up. They weren't there when we were there yet. We were there in the morning, so I think they're showing up like afternoon.
They're still putting on their makeup.
Yeah, that's right. No, but it was very busy. Very, very busy. Lots of people going in there to get their free comics. Mm-hmm.
I saw like I kind of alluded to with our previous sponsor there, the hottest part of the store might have been the maple cookies, because those were flying off the counter.
Yeah, they're...
Yeah, you cannot keep maple those stuff.
They had free food.
They never brought me up one?
No, well, you didn't make it down. I thought you'd make it down.
You said you were going to go down there.
I couldn't make it down. I was busy here.
Yeah. How was it here, Walt? Mm-hmm.
It was very busy. It was probably our busiest day as a Free Comic Book Day. It seemed like it. Because unlike other Free Comic Book Days where, you know, because we open at 9, they seem to taper out around 3 or 4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This one just was all the way till 6.
Really?
That's good. And it was just busy all the way through. We did have lines certain times of the day, but what we tried to do there was manage them as best we could by going through the line and saying, hey, you know, anybody just picking up the free comics,
right,
don't have to wait in line, we just check you out, basically.
We just do
a head count of those and just at the end of the day say, hey, you know, this is how many.
So there's no checkout for the actual free comic books?
We tried that and it just takes too long,
and we
were trying to expedite the process of people leaving happy.
Yeah, and now you guys had some food trucks here as well, didn't you?
We had the one food truck, some cheese truck, mm-hmm, something.
Grilled cheese.
How was that? Was that going over well, do you think?
They said they did really well in terms of a lot of people came and bought cheese.
Good. Well, that's
grilled cheese.
That's usually what they do, yeah.
So, I didn't see a gorilla.
No?
But they advertised themselves as gorilla cheese.
All right.
So, but there were two nice people working there.
Nice.
And it seemed to do all right. We had a tent. We used to do in the old days is we used to try to have activities within the store, and you just can't, not on free.
Remember, we had a magician once, and
and the thing is, it's just so crowded in the store that what you want to do on that day is make the store all about getting comics into the hands of people that want comics,
right?
And then get them out,
right?
And then outside, we had, you know, free face painting. We had artists doing sketches. We had some lady making buttons. We had, you know, the Hamilton Public Library was nice enough to show up, and they set up there.
Nice.
So you had a lot of interaction outside.
Yep.
And
very good.
So you can kind of hang around. You had the food truck.
Yeah.
That's where you can kind of hang around and mingle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but at alleviated so. Inside, it was just kind of the business at hand of getting comics into the people's hands and getting them out the door.
You know what you need to start doing? Handing out free shots of scotch.
Yeah.
And then I think.
You know what? We had planned that.
Yeah.
But a couple of the guys working and I were looking at the bottle. And one thing led to another.
We had to make sure
it was okay.
Right.
And there was no scotch for the show.
Yeah.
And there you go. Yeah, but it was wonderful. So,
good.
What we're going to try to do next week, just as a quick recap at the beginning of the show, is what I haven't had time yet is to email all the comic shops that I know and ask how they did.
Right.
I always like to see, you know, just generally
the pulse,
kind of, you know, the pulse and just general health of the. You know, local comic book shop.
Yep.
How was your free comic book day? Hey, how was your free comic book day?
Good.
And we could all learn a little something from each other over the years. Hey, I did this and it worked. Hey, I did this and it created a bottleneck. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So,
hey, I saw one of your former employees down at the other store.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what he said after the show.
Don't believe a word he says, that guy.
Yeah, I can't tell you what he said on the air, but, you know. Really nice things to say about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Somehow I don't believe that. we hope everybody listening had a chance to make it out to their local comic book shop and support their shop and just to keep this whole great thing going.
I agree. Very good. All right. We got to talk about Captain America: Civil War. What opened up worldwide on the weekend? I mean, had a small opening up 2 weeks before that, I think, or a week before that.
Yeah, it went international.
But now it was the and now opened up in North America on the weekend.
So, fellas, did any of you see the movie?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I saw it on Sunday.
I saw it on Friday night.
Okay,
yeah, it was awesome.
I'm gonna go eventually.
You should.
You should do the double feature. Do that in Superman, Batman,
or maybe the other
every
Captain
other
America
every
movie.
Other movie from the past 10 years.
Maybe have like a marathon. I can go. It's the drive-in. I can go during the day.
There you go. It might be hard to see, but you know. Yeah,
I probably won't notice.
But great movie.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you guys. Fantastic. What were your thoughts on the film?
It was great. It brought together so many characters, which was... So it makes it feel more like an Avengers movie, because Avengers was really the first bring together of so many high-caliber casts. And characters where everyone kind of utilizes their abilities in tandem.
And that's initially when I heard about this. It's kind of like, why? Like, first of all, one of my favorite of this whole new batch of Marvel movies is probably that Cap 2.
Yeah, the Winter Soldier, yeah.
And but that was kind of more because it was self-contained and simplistic. I think it had four heroes.
Yep.
In it altogether, and I was worried about that. This is like it's going to be like an Avengers, where it's just an assault on your.
Well, yeah, this one really should have been titled like Avengers 2.1 or 2.5 or something like that.
Did it have an Avengers feel or a Captain America feel?
It still had a bit of a Captain America feel,
And that's why I think the film ran to 2.5 hours was because there was actually a lot more story, and a lot of Captain America and the whole Winter Soldier, like his friend. Kind of developing their relationship and a lot of flashback and a lot of story and plot. So it wasn't just getting down to a whole bunch of superheroes fighting each other.
No, right? there really was a lot of story. In fact, I mean, the movie's almost 2.5 hours long, and at one point during the first, like, I'll say 40 minutes, there's not a whole lot of action. So I wouldn't say it's draggy, but there's a lot of plot development. Yeah. And then after that, it just explodes, and it's a great movie. You know, I highly recommend seeing it. It was great seeing newer characters like Ant-Man and Spider-Man.
I was going to ask you guys, how did Spidey do in this movie?
Awesome. It's great.
Really well.
Yeah. Are there any spoiler alerts we're going to give out?
No, other than, it was a young kid. They went with a young cast, right? So, I mean, he might be playing a 14 or 15-year-old or something like that in this film.
Now, somebody told me, spoiler alert, beep, boop,
beep, bop,
beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, boop,
is that Spidey's kind of like a well-to-do. He's got a nice pad.
No, I wouldn't say that. 100%
not at all.
No.
Hey, I totally got it
wrong.
Thrifty.
Yep. He's like grabbing stuff from the dumpsters to make
money
and stuff.
Lives in an apartment with his Aunt May. Now,
Hottie
now,
Aunt May. Yeah.
Now, it's funny. Oddly enough, I think they're doing the right thing here. So Aunt May in the comics is a little old bitty Aunt May. And in the first Spider-Man movie, they portrayed her just the way she was in the comics.
Yeah.
White haired and wrinkled. Then, in the second franchise, franchise, they went with in the Amazing Spider-Man franchise, they went with Sally Field,
yeah,
who is probably like in her 60s.
Yeah.
And now they've gone with Marissa Tomei, who's probably like in her 50s. And
uh-huh.
Whew, she is looking good. Pretty good for an Aunt May
Cougar.
There.
Aunt yeah. Cougar May.
Yeah.
I don't even know if she's quite that old.
She's probably in her mid 40s.
She was in Cousin Vinny and she was like mid 20s.
Yeah,
like
it was like.
She might be around 50.
I think,
late 40s.
I read an article saying the first movie had. The first batch was like that woman was in her 70s and then Sally Field was in her 60s and now this one's in her 50s.
Okay.
So now, I mean, they can keep going if they want. They want to have the next one in their 40s. Yes. I'm good with that, you know.
I'm cool
yeah.
at 50.
Yeah. But it was great.
It was good. And Spidey kind of hit all the marks that he needed to. He was very quippy, little kid one-linery.
I was
going to
ask, because the Spidey I grew up with,
he,
you just want to punch him so hard in the face because he's trash-talking you while he's beating you to a pulp.
You know what,
though? Is it the same thing?
It is.
There was a lot of that,
It isn't because he's being thrown into, you know, spoiler alert, but not really.
Beep, boop, bop, bop.
He's being thrown into this world, so everything is new to him.
Uh-huh.
So his one-liner quippy things are more like observational humor that makes it funny instead of like, hey, dope head, you know, I'm gonna whatever,
you should have tried your shoelace.
Instead of that, so it's kind of funny because he's like a little kid being brought to an amusement park just making observational comments.
But
it,
and this is like his first real fight it's
and cool. and same or similar with the Paul Rudd Ant-Man character. He was making a lot of sort of observational type humor and he's just such a funny guy anyway.
He did
really well.
And you know what, I'm glad that I stayed away from the internet a week before the movie came out because I knew that there's gonna be all kinds of spoilers and things like that. And I wanted to make sure I didn't see everything.
Yep.
And I'm glad I did because there are a few little hidden gems in there that really made the movie for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give it away because I don't want to spoil it for you either. But loved it.
Quick question is: the Easter bunnies at the end? There anything happening?
Oh yeah, yes. Easter eggs?
Small sort of endings.
Yeah, two small endings. I don't really know if you know what they
are
really
they
were
setting up another movie.
Yes and no. They're more about setting up the Spider-Man movie. And the
it's going to be Sony,
but Marvel's running the shot.
Produced by Sony, but Marvel's recalling the shots.
Oh.
So I read an article about what was apparently the deal with Sony is there's no money exchanging hands.
Uh-huh.
So Sony's giving Marvel Spider-Man for this movie because this is a Marvel movie, and Sony's not making a dime.
Right.
But what's going to happen is when Spider-Man Marvel's going to take control of a standalone Spider-Man movie.
Uh-huh.
And Sony will make all the money from that one.
Right.
So no money's actually exchanging hands other than the fact that they're kind of, Marvel's helping Sony out.
Yeah.
And it's like a lending, borrowing thing. So now apparently Iron Man has somewhat of a significant role in the Spider-Man movie. So
isn't it amazing though? Isn't it just an observation here, a la Spider-Man here.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it amazing though what just a certain perspective and a certain way of storytelling can make the total difference. The same reason why Marvel Comics worked in the 60s is that fresh kind of everyday man approach, the everyday language, and it just kind of so quickly usurped the stale old DC stuff of that time. I mean, when you look at what Fox tried to do and what Sony tried to do, and then Marvel comes in and they tell the movies kind of comic booky,
but you know what?
They
stuck to the source material too, right? A lot of times these big producers they come in and they we're going to change this, we're going to change that, we're going to change that. And there's a reason why these characters have been around for 50 years, right? So as far as what was your initial question? I know what it was. So basically they're setting up they're talking about Easter eggs.
Easter eggs.
So Sony, there is an Easter egg if you want to call it that. They always set up the movies that are coming out, and this one they set up movies that were sort of well in advance. It's not the next one. It used to be that they would set up for the next Marvel movie.
Yeah.
These ones are the ones coming out in like 2017, 2018.
Okay, I got another question. I'd like to ask. Is there any Doctor Strange coming into this?
In this last movie?
Yeah.
I can say no. No, he's not in.
No. But I think I can't remember because I did watch I rewatched.
Is the Eye of Amamoto in it?
No.
I did rewatch the second Captain America Winter Soldier on the Friday because I knew I was going to this.
Yeah.
And I know that in that one, and then maybe in this one, he's referenced. Stephen Strange.
Yeah. Yes, Dr.
Stephen Strange is brought up.
Yeah.
Right? So okay. They are very aware that he exists in this universe.
Yeah, that is for sure.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Lots of Black Panther in this one.
Yeah.
Right. How
did
he do?
That great. Was my
next
he great.
Great. The actor
come
was
off
great.
Good. The costume, good. How's that look?
Looks great.
It looks very sleek. Yeah. Yeah.
Very sleek.
Very badassery.
And yeah. I liked what they did with like his hands and the mask and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. In order, you're going to like it. It's very good. Very
that's good.
Yeah.
All right. When's that coming to video?
To video. I mean, the Black
6 months?
Black Panther movie or this movie we just saw?
This movie we just saw.
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, it'll be like a fall, five, October, five November, 6 months.
You got it on Christmas. You got it on that little disc in your pocket, don't you?
Well, I wish I did. I'd be watching
it
tonight.
Chris, is that Captain America 3 in your pocket?
Yeah. Are you just happy to see me?
Yeah.
Both, actually.
All right.
Hold on. Before we wrap this up, I want to talk about the money that it made.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the money.
Let's get to the bottom line here.
Hey, because you know why you have to talk about money, because Chance can't just sit here talking pretty, because romance with no finance is a damn nuisance.
You're just trying to force that in.
You really did, yeah.
I got it
in, though. Yeah, you did. Good for you. Good for you. Listen, Captain America Civil War made $181 million in its domestic debut.
That's a lot of clams.
So that is a lot of clams. Fifth best opening of all time and best launch of 2016 so far. What else?
Overseas,
it made $220. $220 million.
That's American dollars there, Shaggy. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's what I like. Yeah.
And then it says, I don't quite understand how it gets these numbers here, but it says a current global total of $678 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what you're looking at is the international release, I think, was more limited. So it's like UK,
right?
Maybe some Middle Eastern. I'm not sure exactly.
China, Russia.
I'm not sure exactly where, but so there's that for a week or something. Going on, and then now you have this. The domestic, remember, is just the U.S.
Right,
so it doesn't include Canada.
Right, yeah,
it doesn't include all the other international.
I see, right.
So when you lump everything all together, I think that's what you're looking at.
All right.
But you know what? I just wanted to bring up one small point.
Yeah.
Is that it's fifth domestic, right?
Ever,
and you think, man, the anticipation for this has been huge. Spidey getting his Marvel debut, you know, and everything.
Right.
You would think, like, man, there's no way this could be stopped.
Yeah.
But so what I did, a quick look up. So
quick,
I just wanted
up.
To let you know what the other ones were that actually beat it out, and it was kind
of
funny.
Hold on. Well, I don't know, because Chris and I are learned men.
We are.
We know our comic book movies and our general movies.
Okay,
you might have half a brain between.
Okay,
you.
So this is the fifth
why
best of all time.
The computer, so I can't look at the screen.
Well, because that would be cheating.
Okay, well, you go ahead first.
Number one opening weekend of all time. Domestic, right?
Yeah, so we're talking just like, so this is the U.S. domestic.
Yeah. Avengers 1.
No.
It's not on the list?
This one,
Is Avengers 1 on the list?
Yeah, it is. It's third.
Okay, all right. So, okay, that's good. That's
fair. All right.
This is like what's that one where the families go up and they guess the top five answers on the board?
Family Feud.
Ding!
Survey says.
Except what you need is Steve Harvey to start doing some stand-up comedy for 20 minutes.
I can fill in for just, that.
Yeah, please,
good
please
at
don't.
That kind of stuff.
All right, Phantom Menace, The Force Awakens.
Absolutely. That's the biggest film, I think, pretty much ever.
Number one answer.
Okay.
Which came in at $247 million.
Okay.
So a lot more.
So the
second one is the odd one. The fourth one you'll probably get. It's in tandem. The
second one is the odd one.
Yeah.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
It's Harry Potter something.
Something with Huey Lewis playing
part
the theme.
Part 5.
Yeah.
Harry Potter part 5.
No, I don't know
Twilight.
Which one is part 5.
I have no idea.
They name the movies. I don't know which one
Hunger
part 5
Games,
is.
Hunger Games part 6.
No, okay.
Mockingjay.
Can I just tell you what it is?
Please
now?
Do. Yeah, please.
No, the second one was Jurassic World, remember?
It
blew up everything, and then everyone on the internet kind of looked at it, because it was right before Star Wars release.
Right.
And said, oh, yeah, you're big today, kid. But,
yeah.
You know, And then the fourth one was the Avengers Age of Ultron. So first and second Avengers. Then after America, you know, you got Iron Man 3 and all the rest. But I just found it funny that it couldn't beat the Avengers movies. I don't know if there's something about the name of Captain America and the name of Avengers.
Could be, yeah.
That just, it doesn't have the same pull. I don't know.
Yeah, could be.
Anyway, all right, listen, sounded interesting.
Very interesting. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, and hold on. Can you just real quickly, just say those names again, 1 to 5.
Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Jurassic World.
Yes.
Marvel's The Avengers.
Yes.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes.
And Captain America Civil War.
Not one chick flick in there.
Nice. I mean,
Rom-com.
Rom-com.
That's what I meant. Also, rom-com. Did I say chick? That's
That's also, so mean of you.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean it that way.
Also, not one DC film. Not until number 8, Batman v Superman.
Donner oh, Christmas, interesting.
At 166 million.
Interesting. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, look, I'm sure whoever's still listening is going to need a break from us. So let's have a musical interlude, and we'll come back, and we'll talk more about industry news.
Leonardo leads, Donatello does machines.
That's a fact, Jack.
Raphael is cool, but rude.
Give me a break.
Michelangelo is a party dude.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
Nice. Hey, that had that hit the road, Jack, kind of.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more.
Hit the road, Jack.
You're right. Next musical interlude, you guys can just sing that.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Industry News Part 2 has a sponsor, which Shecky will read.
Mm-hmm. Industry News Part 2 brought to us by Gwenpool Issue 2, who was surprised that this radio show is still being made.
Oh, that's very true.
Tit for tat on that.
Yeah, one, that's right. Very,
they must be listening.
Very true.
Yeah, that one very got twitted into me.
Twitted.
All right, Chris, let's talk about something near and dear to your heart.
Yep.
You are a big... I'm a Star Wars fan, too, but you're also...
I am also a Star Wars fan, yes.
So news is out that there's a young Han Solo cast, and this kid's name is... this is going to be fun.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Third Reich.
I don't think that's his name. No. I'm pretty sure.
Ehrenreich the Third.
Unlikely.
I had to throw that in somehow.
He is in the final negotiations to play the young Han Solo.
Yes.
So what kind of negotiations are the final part? Is that just the dollars and cents part?
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. Hey, do you want to be Han Solo? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know what? I think the kid's problem, I think he's too good looking.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's a good-looking kid.
Good-looking kid?
That square jaw.
Good-looking kid there.
And remember we talked about this about a month back?
Yep.
Shouldn't they just do a computer CGI young Harrison Ford?
So, does that mean, hold on, would you actually get Harrison Ford to play a young Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
What if he has to do, like, flips and,
No. The computer
dodge things and,
computer just redraws him but he voices it. And
so what part of the movie's real people? What part is real?
So we're not sure.
So what happens? So when he actually speaks, now all of a sudden it's like
it's a voice augmentation. It's you take Han Solo's Harrison Ford.
So he's making an animated show and
animated. It'll trick us into thinking he's the real one.
Yeah, and I'll interject right here just with a small thing. This is directed at you, Chris. Spoiler alert, but not really.
Beep, boop, boop, boop.
Too many spoiler alerts. Remember, because we saw the Civil Wars there.
We did, yes.
You know how at the beginning of the film, you know, Robert Downey, you know, again,
spoiler
He just, created like a little program thing, so it was like watching himself, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. So it was a younger man, but he was obviously CG'd up.
Right.
But he wasn't so young, they had the same voice.
But
it did look okay. It actually looked good.
Yeah.
Like there you go.
Pretty good.
There you go. Yeah. Technology's there. I think they should go with the young Harrison Ford on this, rather than this upstart.
upstart.
Yeah, who is this kid anyway? Yeah. What's he done except Hail Caesar and Beautiful Creatures?
Well, you know, like,
I don't even know what those are. Is that like a salad?
I think so. I like the Hail Caesar Beautiful Creatures salad.
Extra anchovy paste.
Yeah. Right. You know, I think it's good to get the new blood into these roles. Like, you know, it's...
It lets a new generation grow with that character.
Yeah.
Especially if he's in a couple more films or...
Here's the thing. Okay. What we have with Han Solo is this. We have this mega billion-dollar industry around Han Solo. You know, tens of billion-dollar industry. Hundreds of billion-dollar industry in Han Solo.
Right.
So, you know how Star Trek did that? What's the kid's name?
Kirk.
Kirk. What's the new kid's name that does Kirk?
He's one of the Hemsworths. He's a...
Christopher Walken? No.
No. Chris Pine.
Pine. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Chris Pine. Christopher Walken.
Yeah, Christopher Walken.
He'd be a good Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
They guessed right, and they got it right,
yep.
And it was important because then that relaunched reinvigorated the whole franchise. My question is, what if this kid is wrong? What if it's a bunch of small nuances that are important to the character?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not just looks. There's a lot of good-looking guys out there, kids out there that can play the role, and that can act. What if it's those subtleties that make you love Han Solo? You know, the imperfections
That's why they do the audition process. Yeah. That's how they found this guy.
They could get it wrong!
Well, then you could get any movie wrong.
Yeah, but you and I could get any movie wrong. It doesn't matter. Getting Han Solo wrong matters.
They're not going to get it wrong. There's too much that's riding on this. They're not going to get it wrong. I'm sure they had him play a young Han Solo, and I'm sure it's all going to be fine. I know you got some sort of like weird, you know, love affair going for Harrison Ford here, but you know, you're just gonna have to give up, man. Just give it up.
On the weekends, he gets the clip-on earring, Harrison Ford has. Yeah.
Yeah, and then pretends that his wife is close to Flocker.
They should have maybe... Why couldn't they have put him in that last movie as a flashback scene to a young Solo?
They hadn't made it yet. They didn't know who he was yet.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
So, like I said, now they're trying to make a different actor so that he can have his own impression. Like, if they could do a couple more spin-off Han Solo films of the same age... So now that's for a new generation.
They could ruin the whole Star Wars franchise if they get him wrong.
Nah, they won't.
Do you think that they're trying to create this character in this film for the new generation?
Totally,
for the old fuddy-duddies, the 40, 50, 60-year-old guys?
No, everything that they're doing with Star Wars right now is geared towards a younger generation.
Hey, fuddy, give me a second. And it just reminds me of a meme. I hate the stupid things on the Facebooks. But you know what? This one actually got it right. And you know what? I could understand from this perspective. I think this was a mom or a dad, you know, of a kid or whatever, right? And said, you know, this was for Ghostbusters.
Because
everyone hates the look of the new all-female thing, right?
Yeah.
All the fans, right?
Yeah.
So he says, you know what? We had two great films, you know, a whole bunch of, like, an action, like, the cartoon series. Tons of action figures and toys and 10, 20 years of nostalgia. That was already given to us. This is given to my daughter.
That's right.
Like, this isn't for me. I already have what I needed from it. This is for someone
else. You can't just give something to somebody and expect them to take it, as a saying.
Yeah, but
the reason it caught on, it worked, was for this a specific reason. You can't just remanufacture that at will, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they can. I think that's what they're doing.
I think that you think that the viewing public are imbeciles, and I won't stand for that.
I'd like to point out that I did not say that I thought the viewing public were imbeciles. I just think that they're making these movies for a younger audience. They're not making them for old fuddy-duddies like you and I.
Right on. All right. Good then.
All right, you know what? We need Krantz to clear the air here.
Whatever his name is, we wish him the best of luck, and we hope he does a great Han Solo. Because I'm sure, if he doesn't pass the audition, though, I'm sure he'd make a great Chewie.
I'm sure you would make a great Chewie.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
Come on.
No, I'm not going to do it.
All right, let's...
Those are two Chewies mating right there.
Let's have a quick musical interlude to clear the air here a little bit. Thank you.
right. Good stuff.
It was very good.
Hey, I like you. You're spinning some good tunes today, Chuck.
Finally.
Oh, you're
look
on.
At that.
You are
that.
On. Hey, listen, Industry News Part 3 is, I believe, going to have a sponsor.
Oh, nice.
I believe so.
Let's hear it.
Just coming in off the wire. Industry News Part 3.
Beep, 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 beep. Never mind.
Yeah, malfunction. Brought to us by the casting of Young Greedo. The only requirement is to shoot first in about 30 years.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I like that.
That's minimal, right? Yeah, he doesn't have much pressure.
Yeah. I heard Chris always shoots first.
Hey, you know what? I do very well at that archery range. I'm always out the very first person out there.
Way out there.
Yeah, way out there.
Chris is way out there. Hey, so I got some news. Chris, you're a big Superman fan.
Yeah, so are you.
Yeah,
but why you gotta single me out all the time?
But no,
I'm a big
positive.
Star Wars fan, a big Superman fan.
Ooh, he's getting a little touchy, a little up back over.
Is there anything, do I like girls or anything like that? You know,
we'll get into that. Right
we
now.
Never knew. Chris. We never quite
Chewy. Yeah, I remember that last furry concert you and I went to.
No, I know.
Was it a concert or a con?
Yeah, more like a convention, but
there's a lot of dancing.
There's some soft music playing,
more like an orgy.
Some dim lighting.
Hey, so Sci-Fi, the TV network, has greenlighted a pilot for Krypton, the Superman prequel set on Soup's home planet. So now what I didn't check was whether Sci-Fi has other shows going right now and kind of a la DC.
I have no idea. I don't think so. I think all the DC shows right now, I mean, unless they're doing Lucifer or something like that, but I don't think they are. I know that DC, the WB,
yeah,
is doing Supergirl, The Flash, and Arrow.
And Arrow. And they're nicely kind of meshing them together in terms of crossovers and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, when they can,
yeah. And so Sci-Fi is doing the Krypton thing. And my impression and my imitation of Krypton is like this. yeah. What's green and red and goes
and all over the universe?
Yeah. Krypton. My favorite part of Superman, the first Superman movie.
Yeah, which was the greatest Marlon Brando.
Which was probably the greatest superhero movie of all time.
It's debatable now, but go on.
Was that, you know, you have to smoke a joint while you're watching it, sequence of Marlon Brando when he gets to the Fortress of Solitude, and there's that kind of sepia-tony, echoey, his head comes out and he
giant
talks
head.
About the history and everything like that. It's like, whoa, I'm tripping listening to this. This is amazing. That scene was fantastic, and that's kind of my impression of how great, so, you know, going back to Krypton.
So do you think there's going to be a whole show that's going to be like that? Basically giant heads floating around.
I know, I'd watch it. That's for sure. I'd be lining up. I'd head to my local dispensary first. and then go home and check it out.
So, okay, here's the thing. This new series of Krypton is supposed to take place 200 years before Superman's birth.
Oh, okay. So it's like a even great great granddad.
Yeah. So you know, I'm going to pose the question.
Pose it.
Who cares?
Oh no, we all care. We all
why?
Care. Well.
Yeah. I kind of get your point, Chris. It doesn't directly touch on anything to do with anything.
Why even call it Krypton then? Why don't you call
it anyone else in the DC universe? Call it
because I'm sure they will smartly and beautifully and intelligently interject threads that lead to
the eventual blowing up of the planet.
No, the eventual. The eventual. Hear me out here.
I'm listening.
Hear me out here. Hey, you know what? Do something else while I'm thinking.
don't generally do.
Yeah. No. So, you know, maybe the generations are longer, so maybe it's his granddad.
Okay.
Right? And so there's obviously references to the L family, you know, so to speak. And maybe there are references to Earth. Maybe there are, you know, maybe it's the, you know, middle of the British Empire and stuff. I say, you know, and they're checking in on Earth or something like that. I don't know. I'm grasping.
You really, you're grasping at something here.
But I think they can do it. I think they can do it.
I think this sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I think this.
Unfortunately,
I think I
have to lean towards this might not be that good.
I think we're already saturated with superhero type shows as it is.
It's not saturation because we're 90% of them are meeting with success.
Okay.
So the appetite is still there.
Okay. Not with this one. They're not going to be.
How do you know?
Who really? You want to watch a show about a bunch of people you've never heard of or care about? Why don't you call it 90210 on Krypton? Right? That's what it could be.
Yeah. Aliens getting it on.
I was thinking more like Dynasty.
Sure. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Oil. Whatever you want to call it.
Oil. Right. Corner gas.
Sure.
On Krypton.
Sounds terrible.
Okay, so screw that then.
I'm just saying, I don't think that a show about Krypton, when the whole reason for watching Supergirl and Arrow and The Flash is to see those major characters, right?
I think the soup canon will demand a study of the past.
Okay, so I know what they're doing here. They're going back and they're doing something like Gotham, right? Yeah. They're doing pre-Gotham, and so at least with Gotham,
talking about Batman's granddad as a kid,
right? At least with Gotham, you've got like Commissioner Gordon and young Penguin, young Riddler, young Catwoman.
Here's a question.
Here's a question.
Yeah. Are any of the Krypton guys like immortal over time, like Zod and all those guys?
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the canon well enough, but right. I don't think so.
All right.
I mean, the best thing, sci-fi,
I was trying there. I was trying to salvage this bit, but Critic Owen here is just panning everything.
Critic Owen.
So apparently, you shouldn't go out and watch this thing.
I just don't think it's going to. What's the point? Right?
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about this in a few months, lauding the success of the whole interview.
Well, we'll see.
All right. Let's finish off the. Hold on. I'm getting whispers in my ear from
Okay, so.
Okay.
So I understand Shecky was worried that we're talking about an article here that we already talked about. However, as my uncle used to say, you're half right but all wrong. We're going to talk about the Doctor Strange casting controversy.
Yes, we did discuss it
last week.
Yes.
And however, there's been follow up to the controversy that we discussed last week.
Yes, but Shecky has been doing a good job producing.
He's bang on today, guys.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
I'm more shocked that he's doing something than anything. So
So I guess with the whole Doc Strange thing, I read it quickly, but they're backtracking now half the time, and they're Marvel's trying to do damage control. I guess he's the director or something. The Kevin Feige guy.
Kevin Feige. Yeah. He's like a producer. Yeah,
the producer.
Yeah,
he's apologizing for speaking for others in terms of whitewashing the whole thing, so to speak, and saying, "Hey, we planned this all along."
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I guess what I wanted to ask you with this, there's obviously some damage control happening right now.
There is.
From Marvel about this whole thing. Is this a case of any press is good press, even if it's bad press?
I don't know about that. I think there's been a lot of talk about all this. I still don't quite understand the whole the extent of the talk about it. But they're saying now that they didn't want to. Initially, they were saying that they wanted to not upset the Chinese government, and now they're saying, no, it has nothing to do with that. It's the fact that we're trying to just, you know, broaden our horizons, and they want to make they wanted to gender swap the role of the Ancient One because they thought it would be more exciting, right? So,
well, then they could have had a female Asian if that were
they
the
could
case,
have,
right?
Yeah.
They could have just changed them to female, but obviously they went in a different direction altogether.
Absolutely.
So, obviously, there might be a little bit more to it than that.
Right. So, and now they're saying that Doctor Strange director Scott Derrickson commented by saying, raw anger, hurt from Asian Americans over Hollywood whitewashing, stereotyping, and erasure of Asians in cinema. I am listening, and I'm learning. So right. I guess now they're saying, well, why couldn't it be an Asian,
but
right?
They can't go back
they
now.
They can't go back now. No, right. Of course not. No.
Can't go back now. But I don't know. I mean, it's I guess it's a lesson in... what's the lesson here, guys? I think the lesson here is you can't please everybody.
No, you can't.
So you got to please
and
yourself.
And you know, oddly enough, in one of the very...
It's a song. I could write a song about that.
Early on, I read an article about this, and they said this was an unwinnable situation.
Right.
And they are absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm sure they don't want to be known as the company that you know, bends to government wills, right? By
yeah.
saying, hey, you know what, if you make it an Asian character, we're not going to show it in our country. But at the same time, they want to make sure that it's going to make lots of money overseas.
Yeah.
So yeah. Who knows what the truth is here at this point?
The truth is out there.
And it's very Hollywood and political, you know, sort of behind closed doors where... You know what? Maybe they just hope that no one would really catch on and make it a big deal, but someone did, and now it is a big deal, and so all they can do is try to be as correct and polite and say sorry as much as they can.
Yeah, say sorry. Right. I'm so right. sorry. I'm
yeah.
so sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
asking so sorry. For forgiveness is easier than asking, you know...
Whatever.
Well, now in a sort of classic move, now they're making... Instead of having the whole company take blame, there's certain individuals...
Fall guy.
Yeah. So the writer, this guy named Cargill, has backtracked on his characterization of the decision, saying, "Those original statements were my own personal musings about a character, and although I worked on the film script, I came to the project after the first draft and was not part of any casting discussions or decisions, so I had no right to or knowledge to speak about them as if I was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a moronic decision, and mm-hmm. worst of all, I embarrassed my friends and colleagues by coming across as if I was speaking for them, and I was not."
Yeah.
So is this just you know, hey, guys, it was all my fault?
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things. This is the way I look at this thing. We're in a we're in probably the, you know, best society that might have ever existed in you know, the world,
right?
You know,
yep.
Basically, the Western society, a mixing of cultures and races, all
yep.
you know, with, you know, just working together, living together, all that kind of stuff. And
yep.
But times change, right? Because maybe 100 years ago or 50 years ago, it was much more homogeneous, generally speaking,
right?
And as everybody's figuring out, you know, there's always somebody ahead of the curve, somebody a bit behind the curve. The direction, though, is the right direction moving forward. I don't think, though, that we should be, not we, like who am I, but like, I don't think that Marvel should be apologizing for not, you know, getting it exactly right. You know,
right.
They make their decision based on their storytelling thing, and they just... You know,
I think,
hey, this is the decision we made based on the storytelling
that's right.
thing.
Yep.
You know what? It's like anything else. If we look back 20 years ago, and then we look back 20 years before that, we look back 20 years before that, if we take a generation at a time
yep.
and we look at it, man, you're seeing tons of progress in the right direction. So don't nitpick on a small little thing and say,
right.
oh, I don't want this should be like a,
yeah.
okay, maybe we're not there yet. Maybe we're moving
we're getting
in that
there.
Direction.
We're getting there.
But it's everybody's so hyper uber sensitive. I don't know.
I agree, and in tandem with that, it's the, you know, the Facebook and the Twitter and the sharing and the liking and the flaming on
yeah.
other people age, right? Like,
yeah.
all you see is you see the one article drop, and then everyone's got an opinion, and it's
yeah.
so
oh,
easy to just
who cares?
Chime in online.
Yeah, yeah.
It
so
grows
what?
Like wildfire,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna cater to the people that are spewing,
yep.
then you're never gonna get anything done.
No, that's right. right.
So yeah. anyway, let's hit a musical interlude and cap off the
well,
show with some
have
positives.
A quick musical interlude because we only got a few minutes left.
Just a little bit of a quickie.
We have a quickie here quickie. With Walt and Chris. Quickie with Walt and Chris and Jackie.
Chris, that was a satisfying quickie right there.
Did you like that one?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did my best for you there. Actually, Shecky did his best for us.
Yeah, I know. That's usually about as long as I go for.
Yeah, it, yeah, that's yeah. true. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Hey, I want to give a quick shout-out to, not a shout-out, but just acknowledgement to some guy, the Calgary Comic-Con that just happened a couple weeks ago. I believe it's... it's just continuing its torrid pace. I forget what the thing was, 60,000-70,000 or wow. more attendees. Good. It was a rocking show. We have to point everybody out listening that the next Comic-Con is close, and especially the CFMU listening area.
Yes.
We want to encourage everybody to plan for the Niagara Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's...
Let's check. Is that like the 5th to the 7th of June?
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah. Yeah. What is that first weekend, right? The first Friday?
The first full weekend of June. Yeah. The 5th to the 7th. And that's a great show. And hey, listen, if there's no other reason to go to the Niagara Comic Con than to see Arthur Fonzarelli.
Absolutely, that's right.
And all I got to say to that is,
yeah. The exact dates of that, by the way, are June 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Oh, okay, of course, I got that right, didn't I?
So, yeah, right on the money.
It's the 7th. Where the hell is it?
Yeah.
June Tuesday, and it's the 7th. Yeah. Where am I?
Those guys!
I thought there was a show on right now. A midweek show.
Hi, you're knocking on the glass door. Hi, is there a con?
Hello? Hello?
All you got is the guy buffing the floor. Yeah.
Spider-Man, are you there?
Oh, wonderful. But hey, we're a surprise announcement. I thought I'd drop it on you guys. We're planning to do a live show at the...
Yeah. That's nothing new.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good to know.
How many times have we promised to do a live show?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe one of these days we'll get around to
it. You know what? Who's to say that we haven't done them and we just put them in the vault?
That's right. We're waiting for the best of compilation.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what we're trying to do. Anyway, I think we're done for today.
You know what? Unfortunately, we have run out of time.
All right. Listen, Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein and engineered by Chris Owen. And we're on CFMU 93.3, McMaster's award-winning radio station. And we're on 93.3. No, I already said that.
We're still on 93.3.
Yeah, we're still on 93.3. We're at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com.
I don't think we're on Get the Point Radio anymore.
We absolutely are.
Are we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
did you get the memos?
No, I'm too low on the totem pole to get those.
So please go out and support your local comic book shop.
All right. And have yourself a wonderful day.